You're listening to KPFA 94.1 in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, and 88.1 KFCF in Fresno.
Good morning, people. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of the Morning Mix, hosted by the Minister of Information, J.R. Today, we have a jam-packed show for you that includes talking to Christoph of No Justice, No BART about tomorrow's upcoming protest in San Francisco at BART. We will also talk to citizen journalist Dave Id of IndieBay.org. We will be talking to medical student Aku Dada about the founding of the Organization of African Doctors. We're back, and today I'm your host on the Wednesday edition of the Morning Mix. I'm the Minister of Information, JR. We're going to be talking to a 21-year-old black medical student on his way back to Cuba about the Latin American School of Medicine and the founding of the Organization of African Doctors. We'll also be talking to citizen journalist Dave Id of IndieBay.org. But first, we're going to talk about the upcoming and ongoing protests of BART. At the end of the show, we will also be opening up the phone lines for your comments, so stay tuned. Our next guest on the Morning Mix is Christoph from No Justice, No BART, who is coming in to give us an update on what's going on with the many demonstrations that are going on BART, in which the mainstream media is trying to turn the commuters against the protesters. How are you, Christoph?
Hi.
Can you tell the people a little bit about No Justice, No BART? What is its history?
So it's a campaign of protests around BART that started in 2009 after Oscar Grant was executed by the BART police. And that campaign's been ongoing. It got, you know, a whole bunch of fresh energy after BART police killed again in July after they shot a homeless man known as Charles Hill. It basically, the basic demand of this campaign is to disband the BART police. The idea being that BART should not run its own police department.
Why is that? Why do you guys believe that?
Basically, fundamentally, because they're doing a really bad job. Because they keep killing people. In more detail, it's because they're unable to hold anybody accountable at the police department for anything that they do. They're unable to hold each other accountable. They're unable to tell the truth to the public. And their police are dangerous, and they engage in a number of behaviors that should not be tolerated from anybody.
So you believe that we should interchange them with Oakland police, or what are you saying?
We're not arguing. We're not offering any kind of a solution for BART. We don't think that BART needs to run its own armed police force. As to what would replace an armed police force like that, we don't want to speculate, because our goal is really to get BART to the point where they make that realization. And that what happens after that, that's really up to, you know, whoever decides to step in with solutions to the problem. Our goal is to get BART to the point where they realize that they don't need to run their own police force and they need to disband it, just basically shut down that police force and figure something else out.
Can you talk a little bit about the recent demonstrations and what's going on right now in the streets now that it's 2 years after the Oscar Grant campaign and, you know, the Charles Hill campaign is taking more center stage? Can you tell the people a little bit about what's going on with the demonstrations around BART that are going on currently?
Sure. Well, there's a bunch of stuff that's going on. One is that people's consciousness has really been raised by Oscar Grant and since Oscar Grant with respect to police brutality and police violence. So a lot of what you're seeing is not just demonstrations against BART, but people coming together, you know, people that are demonstrating against what happened with the Oakland Unified School District, Raheem Brown being murdered, people are upset about SFPD's shooting of Kenneth Harding. And so a lot of these people are basically joining forces right now. Specifically to BART and what's going on in San Francisco is that a group called Anonymous, which is apparently a loosely affiliated hacker organization that's international, started calling demonstrations after BART shut off the phone service to try to stop a demonstration that they thought was planned by No Justice, No BART. So BART decided that they were going to pull the plug on their cell phone antennas underground. And having done so, ignited this firestorm in the media of people who were upset that they thought they had the right, the legal right to do that, and that that tactic was appropriate in order to stop people from exercising their right to assemble and to speak.
What's the people's position?
The people's position is that we don't need permission from BART. We don't need to ask for permission from BART. So as far as weighing in on that, we're not going to ask BART for permission to protest. We're not going to ask BART for permission to speak. And we're not going to ask BART for permission to, you know, make public transit serve the people. That's our position. As for the cell phone shutdown, I do believe that that is unconstitutional. I do believe it violates a bunch of other laws, and it seems like most people in the United States agree with that position as well. But I do think it's important to say that BART shut down these cell phones in order to stop a protest. It's not going to stop the protests. It's telling that BART thinks that it has the right, that these, you know, that the staff, the administrators, and the directors of BART think that they have the right to really stomp all over people's free speech and do whatever they want to try to fight these protests.
What do you think about the mainstream media trying to pit commuters against the protesters?
You know, it's an interesting thing that the mainstream media does. It's kind of a function of the mainstream media. Whenever you start doing something that's successful, what you end up seeing in terms of successful protest against injustice, what you end up seeing is the mainstream media starts to vilify you. What I would say is it's really interesting to count the number of stories that I've seen where the media is interviewing commuters who are upset or inconvenienced by these protests, and I haven't once seen the mainstream media interview a person from the homeless community. I've never once seen the media interview a person, you know, a young person of color, to ask them what they thought about what happened to Oscar Grant. You know, what do people from your community think about how the BART police behave towards people from your community? So I think that it's clear who the media cares about. The media doesn't care about, you know, people who are homeless. The media, the mainstream media, I should say, doesn't care about young people of color. And that, you know, that's part of the reason why the BART police can get away with the kinds of things that they get away with.
On a more positive note, where can you point people to get information or accurate information and the people's positions on different campaigns, particularly that are coming from No Justice, No BART and other campaigns that you and other collectives are affiliated with?
Well, I think programs like this. I think there's the SF Bayview, IndieBay.org have excellent coverage of these issues. We have our own blog spot called, it's No Justice, No BART, all one word, .blogspot.com. Yeah, I mean, there's also Twitter, which is something that Anonymous has been using a lot. And I think you can get a lot of good information on Twitter, generally through links that people post to Twitter if you look for particular hashtags, but that's what I would recommend.
What do you think about the police, the anti-police terrorism movement that is coming out of the Bay Area so strong since the killing of Oscar Grant, but was starting up right around here at KPFA with the beating of Nadra Foster. It was starting with, it started brewing with the murder of Gary King and Anita Gay, but it really came to a climax with Oscar Grant. Where do you think it is going now?
Well, first I'll say I hope it didn't come to a climax with Oscar Grant, because these murders are still happening, and I think the response needs to be amplified in general. I really hope that it's becoming part of people's general political consciousness in the Bay Area, so that when these incidents happen, people know already that they have to respond, know already what their response is going to be, and just mobilize almost immediately and get out in the street. When Kenneth Harding was killed by SFPD, there were, you know, three demonstrations that happened within a week around that shooting. You know, that's the kind of thing that should be happening. There should be an immediate response anytime somebody is killed, anytime somebody is brutalized by the police with no just cause. There should be, you know, a substantial response, if not an uprising from people. And I think we're getting to the point where people are starting to accept that that's going to happen. And that those responses are going to get amplified in the Bay Area. And I think, anyway, so I'm very positive on it as a whole, because I see that developing. You know, the specific tactics that people are going to take are not so much of a concern to me as the fact that, you know, we're no longer asking if we're going to protest. It's now a question of how.
What do you think about the progress of coalition politics in the Bay Area within this anti-police terrorism movement?
Well, that's actually an interesting question, because I'm not so sure that we've made too much progress there right now. I mean, I think people are still trying to figure out how to work together. But to me, it feels like most of the organizations that have been doing left political work in the Bay Area are somewhat behind the ball on this one. And one of the things that happens is when you get these responses, people are going out in the street. Like, for example, Anonymous, you know, called this demonstration around BART in the city and got 200 people. Anonymous is not a Bay Area organization. They just made a call. And when people are in the street and other people see other people in the street and they know what it's about, they, you know, they step up. And that's something that's happening from like a grassroots level. And it doesn't really have, you know, roots in existing established organizations. And so the whole question of coalition building around it is a tough one, because, you know, the groups that exist should be getting together and should be supporting this and should be building this and helping it. But for the time being, they're kind of, I mean, and, you know, I say this as someone who works with groups like this all the time, we're kind of ancillary to it. You know, this uprising is happening, and we've got to figure out a good way to support it. We've got to figure out a good way to build it bigger, and that isn't happening yet.
For those that are just tuning in, you are listening to the Minister of Information on the Morning Mix, and we are talking to Christoph of No Justice, No BART. We're talking about the demonstrations. Don't you guys have something lined up for today, Wednesday?
Well, so we do have something lined up for tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow there's going to be a demonstration at Embarcadero BART station, and we're asking people to show up to that BART station. We're going to be demonstrating in front of the fare gates. And provided that the BART police do not shut down that station, we'll remain outside of those gates. But we're going to try to pack that station so full that people can ride free at that station. So that actually happened at a previous demonstration that we did, where we managed to get enough people there. What BART did was it just opened the emergency fare gates and people rode for free. Provided that doesn't happen, then what the demonstration will probably end up doing will be to move from station to station, as we have in the past, and try to basically get in and protest on the platform. And that's something that's really going to be up to BART. BART's going to be able to decide whether or not they want to see the kind of demonstration where the train's running and service is running, or they want to see the kind of demonstration that they've seen in the past where service is disrupted because of the decisions that they've made.
Right on. Can you tell people how to get more information on No Justice, No BART, or how to show solidarity with No Justice, No BART?
There's two groups on Facebook. One's called Demand Justice for Oscar Grant, and the other one is, I believe it's just facebook.com/NoBARTPolice, and that is a page you can like, which is dedicated to closing the BART Police Department. You can also follow us on Twitter at No Justice, No BART, one word, or you can find us at that blogspot that I mentioned, nojusticenobart.blogspot.com.
Thank you for being with us, Christoph.
Thank you.
You are still listening to The Morning Mix. Our next guest is Dave Idd, a journalist with Indie Bay Media. Dave Idd, what's up?
Hi, how you doing, JR?
I'm good. Well, tell the people who may not know a little bit about Indie Bay Media. Who is Indie Bay? How did it start? And what does it represent today?
Well, in 1999, there was the demonstrations at the WTO that shut that down in Seattle. And activists at that time were already figuring out that the corporate media was not doing a good job of telling our story. So they put together a convergence center where anyone who wanted to could come and bring in their photos, their video. There was computers set up for free that people could use and post their own stories. And that's the first indie media website was in Seattle based around the WTO protest. From there, it pretty much exploded. There was one started in D.C., L.A., San Francisco, Bay Area one, that's IndieBay.org, was set up within a year of that. And so we've been going for 10 years now. The primary idea is that, you know, activists, journalists, anyone with a story to tell related to social justice can post their own stories. It's unfiltered and open publishing.
How did you get involved with IndieBay Media?
Well, I started following IndieBay myself really closely in 2003 during a lot of the anti-war protest. I actually found it to be some of the best coverage out there. The Chronicle and, you know, other, a lot of news sources like that just really weren't covering what was happening and anti-war activist perspectives. After watching the site for 6 months to maybe close to a year, I just started coming to meetings. I had already done journalistic work before, but not with IndieBay per se.
Why is IndieBay a needed platform, and why do you feel that this is more needed than, say, corporate media?
We allow unpopular views to be expressed. A lot of, you know, I can't go into details, but, you know, recent history is, you know, we frequently get cease and desist letters from various lawyers that don't like some of the stories that are being told on the website. We, you know, with the help of the ACLU or the EFF or, you know, other civil rights attorneys will help us out pro bono because we run on a shoestring budget. And, you know, and we'll fight those. But in some of these recent cases, Google, Flickr, YouTube have gotten the same cease and desist letters that weren't actually even legal and up to snuff as far as the protections of the law out there. And they'll just pull the content. They just decide it's easier just to pull the content. You can go to some of the stories on IndieBay around some of these cease and desists. And if you look on Google, you'll see at the very bottom of the Google page, it'll say, you know, two or three search entries have been deleted. And so they'll just take it down. And, you know, and independent voices very easily get silenced. It doesn't even have to be a meritorious legal claim.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the stories you have been covering as of recently?
Largely, I've been covering issues related to police violence. I've covered Raheem Brown. There's been some protest at the Oakland Unified School District headquarters.
Well, who is Raheem Brown for those of us who may not know?
Okay, Raheem Brown was murdered by a OUSD police officer last
night.
That's
the Oakland Unified School District, for those of you who don't know what that means.
Yes, and he was shot as he sat in a car. Was no threat to anybody by this officer named Bott, I think is the way you pronounce it, B-H-A-T-T. And they've tried to say, oh, he was threatening them with a screwdriver. The story just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, nobody else was there. Well, he had a female friend with him who they've tried to intimidate. But nobody else of authority was there. So the officer's gotten away with it. And sadly, about a week ago, after a scandal with a racist scandal came up with the current chief, well, he's not the current chief, he resigned a week ago, but they promoted Bott to fill this other racist position as the chief of police at OUSD. So there's a lot going on there, and, you know, activists are definitely very upset, as well as the family. They've been going to the school board meetings for months since he was killed in January, and the school board just sort of sits there and rolls their eyes or looks up. They act like they're bored or annoyed. And then Tony Smith, the superintendent of Oakland Schools, appointed Bott to be the chief, knowing full well Bott's history and the community's anger about him still being on the force.
So how has your coverage differed from the coverage of, say, mainstream media dealing with this issue specifically?
Well, the mainstream media, you know, they won't cover things in depth. You know, if anything, they've largely ignored the story. After Bott was promoted, they did actually come to the OUSD meeting and cover it. But they'll give, you know, activists, family members might get a soundbite, you know, but then they'll also talk to the school board and get their side, you know, and that's their view of balance. You know, it doesn't matter that one side is right and one side is clearly wrong. You know, they have this false sense of objectivity that they try to portray. And and I let people speak for themselves. You know, I did a, I don't know, maybe a 10-minute interview with Lori Davis, Raheem Brown's mother, and Ann Wales, local Oakland civil rights attorney. And, you know, and they get to speak for themselves for 10 minutes. So people get to come to Indy Bay and really hear what the people, the players involved, what they have to say about things.
For those of you who are just tuning in, we are on the Morning Mix. This is the Minister of Information, and I am talking to Dave Eid, a reporter and journalist with Indy Bay Media, as we talk about the history of the organization and what it's up to today. Dave, can you talk a little bit about some of the other stories that you've been involved in? I know that I've been looking at some of your coverage around some of the BART demonstrations. Can you tell us a little bit about why people are protesting BART at this current time?
BART's been feeling the heat on and off for the last 2.5 years since Johannes Messerli shot Oscar Grant in the back. You know, you can go to indybay.org/Oscar Grant, all lowercase, and find a year and a half's worth of history on the case, including court documents and all sorts of things that you just won't find anywhere else. It's a pretty remarkable archive, and it's not just my coverage. A lot of people have contributed to it. In July 3rd, another BART officer killed another man at Civic Center Station, and of course, you know, it looks like he's going to get off. Apparently, he has left the BART police force and is going to be working for the FBI. So they're, in a sense, they're all in it together.
What's his name?
I forget the officer's name offhand right now. I'm sorry. Charles Hill was the one who was murdered. The officer's name doesn't come to mind right at the moment.
If people would like to get more information on Indy Bay and how they could be citizen journalists, or if they would just like to get raw, authentic, non-corporatized, for the people, by the people type of media, how do they do both of those things?
As I said before, anybody is welcome to publish. If you go to indybay.org, at the top of the page, you'll see a link that it says publish. If you click on that, you come to a little form with a, you put a summary in there, you put the body text, and you can tell your own story. If you're a little bit more sophisticated, you can do uploads. You can do photographs, audio, video. A lot of people really kind of build their journalistic chops by using IndieBay. You know, you might be a little rough around the edges as you start, and then, you know, as you figure things out, you can, you know, get a little more sophisticated with video or what have you. You don't need to have an expensive camera. It's open to anyone. And if you just want to go to a social justice event and write about what you heard, you're welcome to do that as well. You know, there's no sort of, you know, you don't have to have any J school credentials or anything of that sort. You know, if you have a story to tell, you're welcome to come to Indy Bay and tell it, as long as it's, you know, social justice oriented.
You were just listening to the voice of citizen journalist of Indy Bay Media, Dave Eid, right here on the Morning Mix with the Minister of Information, JR. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, JR. I appreciate it.